Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Creative Cure: How Finding and Freeing Your Inner Artist Can Heal Your Life is a self-help and creativity book by Jacob Nordby that argues creativity is not a niche talent but a basic human capacity. Rather than treating art as a luxury or a professional specialization, the book presents creative expression as a source of well-being, clarity, and personal renewal. It blends reflective guidance, journaling practices, and practical encouragement for readers who feel blocked, disconnected, or unsure how to begin a creative practice. Nordby draws on his own transition from outward success and inner emptiness to a more meaningful life shaped by regular creative work. The result is a book that sits at the intersection of creativity coaching, personal development, and emotional healing, with a clear emphasis on everyday practice rather than artistic perfection. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, creativity as an innate human function rather than a rare gift. A central argument of the book is that creativity belongs to everyone, not only to professional artists or naturally gifted people. Nordby presents creativity as something fundamental to human life, comparable to a living force that should move through thought, feeling, and action. This framing matters because it shifts the problem from "I am not creative" to "I have lost touch with my creative nature." The book is therefore less concerned with talent than with reconnection. By redefining creativity as a basic capacity, Nordby removes a major psychological barrier, the belief that artistic expression requires special permission or exceptional skill. That redefinition also broadens the book beyond painting, writing, or music. Creative practice becomes a way of paying attention, making meaning, and living more fully in ordinary life. In this sense, the book is not simply about producing art. It is about recovering an underlying human resource that has often been neglected, dismissed, or judged away. Secondly, why socialization, rejection, and trauma block creative expression? Nordby identifies three major enemies of creativity: socialization, rejection, and traumatic experience. This is one of the book's most useful ideas because it explains creative blockage as an understandable response to environment rather than a personal defect. Socialization teaches people to prioritize conformity, productivity, and safety over experimentation. Rejection can teach them that their natural expression is unwelcome or embarrassing. Trauma can make survival more urgent than imagination, pushing inner life into hiding. Together, these forces help explain why many adults feel disconnected from spontaneity or artistic impulse even when they still value creativity. The book does not treat these barriers as abstract concepts. It links them to the way people learn to edit themselves, silence desires, and mistrust intuition. That makes the book psychologically grounded, even when it stays accessible. Its value lies in naming these forces clearly, so readers can begin to see their creative difficulty as a consequence of adaptation, not proof that they lack ability. Thirdly, a healing sequence of self-discovery, self-acceptance, and self-expression. The book organizes personal transformation through a simple sequence: self-discovery, self-acceptance, and self-expression. This structure gives the book more depth than a generic creativity manual because it shows that artistic work is inseparable from identity work. First, readers are invited to notice who they are and what has shaped them. Next, they are encouraged to accept that reality without shame or self-erasure. Only then does expression become more natural and sustainable. This progression is important because it resists the common urge to jump directly into output or technique before the inner conditions are ready. Nordby's model suggests that creative flow grows when a person becomes more honest, less defended, and more willing to inhabit their own experience. The emphasis on transformation as becoming also helps explain why the book resonates with readers looking for emotional repair as well as inspiration. Creativity is presented not as an extra activity added onto life, but as a process of aligning inner truth with outward form. Fourthly, daily journaling as a practical tool for reconnecting with the inner creative self. One of the book's most concrete contributions is its use of journaling as an accessible creative discipline. Nordby offers a simple reflective practice built around a few guiding questions, making the book more actionable than many inspirational books about creativity. The point is not to produce polished writing, but to create a regular space for attention, honesty, and inner listening. Journaling functions as a bridge between thought and expression. It slows mental noise, reveals patterns, and helps readers identify needs that have gone unnamed. This is especially significant for people who feel intimidated by traditional art making or who struggle to keep a consistent practice. Because the method is brief and low pressure, it lowers the threshold for participation. The book's strength here is that it treats creativity as repeatable behavior rather than a rare burst of inspiration. In practical terms, that makes the work more sustainable. It also aligns with the book's larger thesis that healing begins when people make room to hear themselves clearly and respond with care. Lastly, the personal and ethical stakes of living creatively. Nordby's book does more than recommend a hobby. It argues that creative practice changes the quality of a person's life. He connects creativity with meaning, purpose, aliveness, and emotional recovery, making a case that inner expression has consequences beyond the studio or notebook. His own account of leaving a materially successful but spiritually hollow life reinforces this argument by showing that external achievement does not necessarily produce fulfillment. The book also implies an ethical dimension. When people reclaim their creative selves, they become less trapped by fear, numbness, and imitation. That can improve how they relate to work, relationships, and community. This wider framing distinguishes the book from narrower creativity guides that focus only on technique or productivity. It is interested in what happens when a person becomes more authentic and less divided. For readers, that means the payoff is not limited to better art. The deeper promise is a more integrated life in which imagination, self-knowledge, and everyday action support one another. In conclusion, The Creative Cure will be most useful for readers who feel blocked, disconnected, or uncertain about how to begin a creative practice, as well as for established artists who want to recover a more grounded and sustainable relationship with expression. It is also relevant to readers of personal growth, journaling, and recovery-oriented books because it treats creativity as a form of healing rather than a decorative extra. The book offers practical value through its simple reflective exercises and its emphasis on consistent, manageable practice. Intellectually, it stands out because it does not reduce creativity to talent, career achievement, or productivity. Instead, it links creativity to identity, emotional survival, and self-reconnection. That makes it different from many books in the genre that focus mainly on inspiration or technique. Nordby's approach is distinctive in its combination of psychological realism and accessibility. It acknowledges the reasons people shut down creatively, then offers a humane way back. Readers who want a clear, non-pretentious guide to creative renewal will find this book especially fitting. If you would like to support Jacob Nordby, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.